Well, I want to welcome Mary Talley. She's a career human resource professional with more than 25 years of demonstrated professional experience across the entire spectrum, suite, and streams of HR functions and operations. So, Mary,
welcome to Grind and Unwind.
Thank you for having me, ladies.
Thank you for coming here. You want some wine? We got some good wines here.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead. Help yourself. Look, this is what we like to do. We have a good time. So tell us a little bit about yourself, like about your background.
As Erica pointed out, I have more than 25 years of experience in human resources, including executive level capacities in large and medium-sized organizations across industries and across industry sectors. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty adept at all things HR, so to speak. I have experience in organizational development, talent management, strategic planning, workforce planning, learning and development, mergers and acquisitions and divestitures, and compensation.
Wow, yes. Thank you for sharing that. Listen,
awesome.
We have her here today. We're glad that you're here today. We get a lot of questions regarding people either going into new, transitioning from one career to a next, and how to dress. So we're going to just kind of ask a few questions about that, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
So I guess one of my first questions is, I'm older. How do you feel one person can go, like, the process from transitioning? Maybe they're in, IT, and they want to go into marketing. Do people really have to go back to school because that's, like, the thing, or get new training, or...
It may require some upskills training for mm-hmm. things that they don't already have or that they'd like to know. Mm-hmm. First, you need to research whatever field you plan on transitioning in. And that's going to give you a gauge as to whether or not you have those skills or whether or not you have transferable skills, things that are already existing in your skill set and your portfolio that can transfer over. So it's important to do your homework first and mm-hmm. your research. Talk to people that are already in the industry or doing the job that you want or that you desire to, and find out how they got started and what they need, and maybe even ask them if you can shadow them in the workplace for a day or two and find out what it's really like, because it's different when you think you want to do something than
Absolutely.
Actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage people to do that, to transition. Transitioning is not easy. It's not impossible, but it does take some time and effort and patience. It doesn't happen overnight unless you know somebody. That's the other thing. I encourage people to network as much as possible. Let your family and your friends know that you're interested in transitioning and what you'd like to do. Maybe they know somebody that can help you.
Okay.
Another good resource is to do some social media sites, like, for example, networking sites like LinkedIn, which is a great source. You can post your resume there. There's a wide network. You can ask people to join your network. Other people can ask you to join. You can highlight your skills. You can even indicate that you're looking for work or that you're looking to be hired.
Mm-hmm.
And people will reach out to you, and you can reach out to other people too. So that's a good venue as well.
Okay. My question for LinkedIn. Now, this is not Facebook. Should we kind of...
No.
We're not trying to be... I'm not trying to be friends with somebody who's not in the same profession as me. Is that...
No, you're talking about LinkedIn?
I'm talking about LinkedIn because
okay.
I see people's LinkedIn pages and it looks like they're Facebook pages.
Well, no, it's more of a professional networking site, but you also have people on there or businesses that are selling goods and services
okay.
and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that, right? So it's a good place for... professionals.
Okay.
Across all sectors and across all industries, you have retail, you have customer service, you have HR professionals, you have journalists, you have photographers, you have engineers, you have CEOs, you have doctors, lawyers,
mm-hmm.
every profession that you can imagine, those folks are on LinkedIn. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
okay.
connecting with those people is a viable option. So, you know, sometimes people accept your invitation to connect, other people don't. And you can find out a lot about people first. I would encourage people to look at everybody's profile, or the people that you're interested in, look at their profile. Sometimes you can do a search by occupation, and it'll bring up those people that are in that particular profession.
Mm-hmm.
It'll bring up a host of them. Or people that you may know that you're already connected to that they know.
Mm-hmm.
That's another stream. It's a feeder stream, so
mm-hmm.
to speak.
Okay.
So it really is about professional networking. You can find interesting information on there aside from job opportunities, such as articles about transitioning, articles about what's happening in the workplace, articles about what's trending in the economy, articles about what do you do if, you know, there are opinion polls. It's an array of different things that happen on LinkedIn for career professionals. Even college students or even high school students. I mean, there's a host of resources there and a lot of different diverse people there. So it's a good source.
Awesome. So how long will it take to find a job?
Well, it depends on the type of industry you're looking in and the type of position that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. On average, it takes about 6 months to find a new job, but it can be longer or shorter. It depends on a number of factors, primarily what you're looking for, what your criteria is, what's available, and how long you're willing to be patient or not.
Okay.
But the average is about 6 months.
Okay. And how many jobs should a job seeker anticipate applying for?
That depends on a number of different factors. It depends on what you're looking for and the availability of those roles, so to speak. So I know people that have applied for over 300 jobs in a relatively short period of time. I know somebody that's applied for over 1,200 jobs and still hasn't found the ideal job that they want, their dream job, so to speak. So it depends whether or not you're relocatable. Mm-hmm. It depends on your flexibility. Are you looking for something that's completely remote work? Are you looking for a hybrid opportunity, which is a combination of remote and on-site, or do you just want something on-site? Do you want something full-time or part-time? Are you willing to commute a distance rather than relocate? Are you flexible? So it depends on a number of different factors.
Now, what should a job seeker do if they have a criminal record?
That's a great question. Typically, I encourage anybody that wants to be employed to pursue employment opportunities. So if you have a criminal record, by all means, you should apply for positions that you're interested in and obviously that you're qualified for or that you're willing to develop the skills to attain. But a lot of states, including Maryland, has something called ban the box. And what that means is that employers are not permitted to ask you on an application of employment or an initial application of employment about your criminal background. By doing that, you get an opportunity or employers get an opportunity to meet the job applicant before they disclose of their record, right? So you get to know if you like this person, if you think it's a good fit, if they'll, you know, blend with your culture and with your organization before making a decision, right? So you're at a disadvantage when people know sometimes that you're an ex-offender, right? So sometimes people are afraid to apply for opportunities because they think, oh, I don't have a chance of doing that. But with being the box in place, again, it's in several states, and there are a lot more states that are trying to get legislation enacted that will prevent them from asking job applicants on an application, do you have a criminal background? So if you check yes, you automatically, sometimes you're automatically eliminated from consideration and sometimes you're not. There are a lot of employers out there that are willing to give ex-offenders a job opportunity.
That's true.
I encourage them to apply.
Okay. How should a job seeker prepare for a job interview?
Oh, well, that's a good question. There's a lot that goes into that. Well, first, I would encourage everybody that is looking for a job to transition, whether you're new to the workforce or you have work history, is to have an updated professional resume. I've seen many people that apply for job opportunities and their resumes are updated or they do not have a resume. So that's one of the first things that that I would encourage people to do. I would also say that your resume primarily falls into, it has five elements, right, that it should be included to be effective. We also have to remember that it takes anywhere, a recruiter only looks at a resume for 3 to 5 seconds, right? They form an opinion in 3 to 5 seconds. So you have to have a compelling resume to get somebody to say, okay, I want to find out about this person. I want to talk to them and actually bring them into an interview. Now, out of one job posting, typically there are over 100 applicants. Of those 100 applicants, only 1 in 5 actually gets an interview. So the odds are not high of getting a job interview. It's really a frustrating and stressful experience to find a new job. So again, I would encourage people to update their resume. They should include their contact information, include your name, include your email address and your phone number. It's not necessary these days to include your address, right? Because things are remote, they're flexible, they're mm-hmm. hybrid and all of that. Nobody really is honing in on that, right? Mm-hmm. You will see some employers say must be local residents who must mm-hmm. live in a certain demographic or a certain geographical location, but that's very rare. I would also encourage them to, on their resume, have a professional or qualification summary, right? Mm. That is you telling people about your brand, okay. why I am qualified to do this work, mm-hmm. right? Yep. You know, if you're a customer service person, what you're going to do in any case is write a very brief, short, no more than 2 sentences, concise, succinct statement that tells them who you are. So for example, I'm making this up. If you are a customer service representative and you know you have a lot of experience in customer service, your qualification summary may say something like, highly experienced customer services specialist, powered by 10 plus years of work experience, ensuring that customers receive courtesy, respect, and problem resolution, or something to that effect. That yeah. would be your branding statement, right? Mm-hmm. Then you're also going to include something called core competencies. Core competencies are the skills that you bring to a job. So it may be supervision, customer service, managing conflict, being courteous towards customers, mm-hmm. having good communication skills, mm-hmm. writing well, speaking well. You're going to list those things, right? So those are the things that are core to how you are going to perform a job and mm-hmm. how you're going to perform it well, okay. right? Mm-hmm. You're also going to have your professional work experience, mm-hmm. right? And you're going to list that. And you're going to list that in the order of the earliest, the most recent job first, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're going to put your dates of employment. And I want to emphasize that when you put dates, mm-hmm. just put your years. You don't have to put the month, the day, okay. and the year. Okay. I just, you know, yeah. because that tells a story.
Yeah.
You're also, under that professional experience, you're going to highlight your roles and responsibilities, primarily in bullet point, but you're also going to indicate the accomplishments and achievements you made in that job or to that job. That's very important because recruiters look for things like that. Okay. So that's important. I also encourage people to include their education, mm-hmm. right? And any licensures or certifications that you may have, that's perfectly fine to include that because that's a good selling point, mm-hmm. right? The last thing that you want to do is make sure you proofread your resume and get somebody else to proofread it too. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't feel confident about doing your resume on your own, there are a lot of professional resume writing services available to help you. Okay. But also be aware of resume writing scams. Okay. So there are organizations out there that will contact you and say, hey, we saw your resume and we have somebody that's interested in you, but your resume doesn't parse well through the applicant tracking system. So in order for you to be considered for this job, we need to redo your resume and it's going to cost X.
Mm.
Yeah. So beware of scams like that because mm-hmm. they do exist.
Okay.
But there's no reason that you can't have a family or a friend or somebody that you know mm-hmm. in HR to help you put together a compelling resume. Okay?
But do you have to, Piggy asking the question for that one is like, mm-hmm. is it recommended to have somebody, I mean, you have your family friend do it. Do you feel that people that get it professionally done get more hits on their resume?
Than no, got it? Not necessarily. Maybe, maybe not. I mean, that's a controversial issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that it is because many employers use ATS, which is applicant tracking software. Mm-hmm. So what happens is when you submit a resume, it goes into their ATS system and it parses your resume. So what you see on paper that you submit is not what the ATS says, mm-hmm. okay? Because the applicant tracking is looking for keywords. The goal of applicant tracking systems is to eliminate applicants, not increase applicants, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you have mm-hmm. to be very careful about that. Now, there are some times that a human will see your resume and actually look at it,
mm-hmm.
but oftentimes they won't because if it doesn't pass through the applicant tracking system, right, with mm-hmm. the keywords that are unique to that job, then it's never going to get seen by human eyes. So just be aware of that. So you may want to factor those things in when you're determining whether or not I'm going to have a professional resume service write it, because they kind of know how applicant tracking systems work most effectively and the things to look for. But that depends on, because it does cost. I mean, it can cost you anywhere from $50 to $200, depending on what you want them to do, how much work history you have, and all of those other factors.
I have another question. My other question was, you said on the resume, what happens if someone has, you know, with COVID, you know, the way they might have a gap in their resume? How do you, what do you recommend for someone who may have a gap in between their jobs?
Explain the gap. I encourage them to write, you know, indicate from this date to this date, right? Let's say you were a caregiver. It's perfectly legitimate to say that you were the primary caregiver for a seriously ill family member, or that you had a hiatus because you were a doing at-home parenting, or you took a hiatus because you decided to travel the world and do some volunteer work, or whatever that thing is. It can even be, you know, I had a gap because I had a medical condition. I'm fine now, but it required that I have a recuperation period. So I wasn't able to work. So there's nothing wrong with that. Life happens. That's to be expected. The worst thing you can do is not address it, right? Because then that automatically sometimes eliminates you from consideration because people get suspicious.
Okay, thank you. And what about like your dress code? Like, is there a certain way that a person should dress? Should they dress for the job? Say, for example, they're going for telecommunication. And as a, I don't know, a utility worker, should they dress for that job or should they just normally dress in business attire? Because we get that question sometimes as well.
I would advise to always dress in business attire, right?
Right.
Now, everybody does not have a suit. Everybody does not have would be necessarily suitable for an interview. But I would say if you can, if you don't have a suit, wear a suit jacket.
Right.
Or if you don't have a suit jacket, wear a cardigan or a polo shirt or just a shirt and a tie or, you know, something business appropriate.
Not jeans with rips in it.
No jeans, no tennis shoes.
Not don't go with your family. I can't bring my family to my interview.
No, you can't bring your family to
my mom is sitting there with me.
I would encourage and also be cognizant of your makeup, be cognizant of your nails. All of those things factor in.
Hair color.
Yep, nail color is important. Lip color is important.
But I was under the impression that they should not be stereotyping us. I know there's a new law that said about the, remember the dreads were big in this area one time, I guess.
That's called the Crown Act.
The Crown Act. Thank you.
Right, okay.
So now they can't look at you and not hire you because of that, but we still, I guess, the visual is still there.
Well, there are a lot of things that people are not supposed to, employers are not supposed to do, and people are not supposed to take into consideration, but people are people, you know, and they have their perceptions, their likes and their dislikes and stuff like that. The best thing that I can say is just to be professional.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything with braids as long as they're neat or natural hair, as long as it's neat and it's professional, because you want to encourage people to be authentic, because when they show up on day one, you don't want to see a totally separate, different person. What happened here?
Yeah.
So I just say be professional, you know, be cordial, be polite, be confident. Those are all things that you should be during an interview. I also encourage people to practice a handshake. Believe it or not, handshake is very important. It's always important to have a firm handshake, right? I would also say, when you're going on a job interview, please, if you don't do anything else, research the company. Okay. Find out what their goods and services are. Find out the name of the CEO. Find out the name of the hiring managers that you're going to be reporting to. And know what job you're applying for. Right?
Yeah.
Understand the skills and responsibilities.
Yes,
and be able to answer the questions. I encourage people to practice, rehearse their questions in advance. You can have a mock interview with your friends or your family or whomever. And there's some typical questions that you can ask, they can ask you and you can answer, just to get a feel for what that's going to be like. Because you don't want to go in and you don't want to use a lot of filler words and not stumbling over questions and not being confident and not being able to ask. Also, it's important to ask questions.
Yes.
Sometimes people say, oh, I don't have any questions. You should have questions, right? Because you should be interviewing the employer as the employer is interviewing you. So yeah, that's important.
As far as the salary piece is concerned, too, you get that question a lot about how much you should put down. Some applications ask you, what is your salary range or your hourly rate? Mm-hmm. But you don't want to lowball yourself. Or is there a safe, I mean, even after you've done your research, is there a safe number to put? I'm pretty sure I've seen people say in the past they put zero down as a number of amount. I mean, any recommendations?
Well, you know, whenever possible, put negotiable.
Okay.
Right? Negotiable within the salary range for the position, right? Mm-hmm. Because I can assure you that every position has a salary range. Mm-hmm. Now, talking about salary ranges, there are a couple of things about that. There are some states, including Maryland and DC, that have pay transparency laws. Okay? Mm-hmm. Which means that if you ask the employer for the salary range, they're supposed to provide it to you, and they're not supposed to retaliate against you because you asked that question, right? Mm, okay. Now, so having that in mind, there are different types of pay transparency. Some of it is they have to disclose the salary range when you ask. Some jurisdictions require that they list the salary range on the job posting so you know what the range is going in, right? And there are some that say that you can, you can't penalize the employer or the applicant about asking for the salary range, nor can you penalize them for asking for a salary adjustment after they're hired, mm-hmm. right? But the employer at that point can say, okay, well, what were you making before? So an employer, in a lot of cases, because of pay transparency, cannot ask you for a salary history, right? Mm. Because the guidance is, if employers ask for salary history, they may use that as a basis for determining the salary that they're going to pay you, right? Mm-hmm. So it's designed to eliminate pay inequity, right? Mm-hmm. It's like equal pay for equal work. Mm-hmm. So it's important to know those things when you go into talking about salary. But I encourage people, if they ask you what your salary range is, you know, if you're absolutely pressed and they insist that you tell them, say, can you share with me the salary range for the position? If they say blank, then you can say, okay, I believe that we can come to an agreement within the budgeted hiring range for the mm-hmm. position.
Okay.
Yep. That's good. Now, what should a job seeker do if they do not get the jobs they apply for?
The first thing that I would say is do not romanticize about a company, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Every company has problems. Mm-hmm. I don't care how larger or what they do, whatever their lines of business are, every employer has problems, okay? The other thing I would say is that's not your door.
Mm.
That's not the job that was designed for you.
It's not your door.
It's not your door. And also, sometimes rejection is protection.
Mm.
So I would just say that don't lose momentum. You know, it's easy to feel that, what did I do wrong? You know, I'm never going to get a job. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't like me. There are oftentimes internal factors at play that we're not privy to. Mm-hmm. There's no way you could possibly know that. Sometimes mm-hmm. they eliminate a position. They mm-hmm. they post a position, but they decide to eliminate it, or they've decided to make an internal promotion, or if they've done something else, they change the position to something else. There could be any number of reasons that you'll never know. Right. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I will say is do not romanticize about a company because mm-hmm. they all have problems.
Yes, that's a good one. Yeah.
Thank you. We really appreciate you coming out here today and giving us all of this insight. If there's anything that you want to end with, what would you tell the audience as they're looking for a new job? Like, any takeaways or anything to share with them?
Well, I think that in this current environment, which is still highly competitive, we hear about a lot of layoffs that are occurring mm-hmm. across industry sectors, right? Mm-hmm. Amazon just announced that they're going to be doing layoffs in 2024. Mm-hmm. And we know that a lot of tech firms have laid off in 2023. And there are more layoffs to come, mm-hmm. right? Especially with businesses closing and stuff like that. So I would just say, know that you're not alone. Most people during the course of their career experience a job loss, whether it's voluntary or involuntary.
Exactly.
It happens. It's a fact of life. It's a part of life.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're never going to work again.
Right.
You will. But I would encourage people to know that they're resilient and you will find another job. And don't give up. Never, ever give up. I would also encourage people to automatically update your resume. But when you're exiting a company, find out whether or not they have any outplacement services. Mm-hmm. Find out what severance you may be eligible for. Ask those questions. Make sure that if applicable, you receive any accrued, unused pay time off that you have on the books.
Yeah. Great to know. Yes.
And also apply for unemployment benefits if you're eligible for unemployment as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. And just stay encouraged. Don't be embarrassed.
Right.
Share that information with your family and friends that you're looking for a new job. Network. Post your resumes. There are a lot of places where you can post your resume. Mm-hmm. You can post them on search firm sites. You can post them on Indeed, Glassdoor. I'm trying to think of some other ones. LinkedIn, you can post your resume there. And there's also, I can't remember the name of another site that I'm thinking about. But there are literally hundreds of sites where you can post your resume for free. It doesn't cost you anything.
All you
need to do is create a profile on that site and post your resume and make it visible to the public. You can make it private if you want so that only employers can see it. Or you can make it visible to anybody that's looking on that site. So there are options that you have, but just stay positive. And sometimes don't necessarily, it may not be, the next job that you get may not be your ideal dream job.
Right.
But remember, it's probably not going to be the last job you ever have in your career.
Exactly.
Right? So, you know, think about the long-term goal. Think about progression.
Yes.
You know, where's this job going to lead me to? Or what skills am I going to acquire from that job that are going to prepare me for that ultimate job?
Yeah.
You just never know. So I would just say, be open, be flexible. I'm not saying settle. Settle and being flexible is different.
Right.
But just think about the long-term prospects and how is this going to help me? And how is this going to help me get to where I want to be?
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Wine
and Mary, Wine. It was nice
My pleasure.
You.
Thank you for having me.
If you have any questions, would you mind if we reach out if we have any questions from our...
I don't. I mean, I have an email address, but I can tell you I would get bombarded with that.
No, I wouldn't want you to give it to them, just us, if we had a question.
Yes, you
thank
can
you so
absolutely
much.
Contact me.
Yeah.